Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hello, kids. This is Risk, the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. I'm Kevin Allison, and every Thursday, we release these special episodes that we're calling Classic Risk Singles. Each of these episodes features just one story from our earlier years. If you're new to Risk, you should know that the podcast can be very uncensored. This week, a story by Julie Threlkeld that she first shared on the podcast in July of 2012. Here's Julie now with a story we call Stop Signs.
So we're told as kids never ever to get into a car with a stranger. And this was a piece of advice that I ignored exactly once in my life. And I thought it would be okay because I was 28 years old at the time, and the person who I got into the car with was a driving instructor. I had attempted to learn to drive as a teenager, but for various reasons hadn't gotten a chance to practice a lot, so I'd failed my driving test. And for many years I lived in New York City, and like a lot of people, made do without a car, didn't really need one, and just sort of bummed rides off of people. But it got to be a real problem whenever I wanted to, say, go anywhere beyond the extent of the New York City subway system, or in my case, when I was in my late 20s, I decided that I wanted to buy a house, and I quickly realized that it was going to be impossible to shop for a house in the suburbs, let alone live in the suburbs without a car. So I needed to get a license, and before I could get a license, I needed to learn how to drive. So at the time, I was living on Staten Island, and I arranged for driving lessons at a local driving school. It was about 12 sessions over 6 weeks. And my instructor was he was sort of overweight. He was probably about 40 pounds, 50 pounds overweight. I pegged him for his 50s, but he looked prematurely aged. So he seemed harmless, whose name was Ron. He was very chatty and possibly a little too chatty. I found it really difficult to concentrate on moving an incredibly, to me, dangerous car while he was constantly nattering at me. But I was raised to be really polite and deferential and sort of put other people's social comfort first. And so I tend to just let him blather on, and I would just occasionally try to respond. We had a shift in conversation over time that began with some very vague statements concerning marital discontent. At one point, he said to me, things get old after a few years. And I just nodded, because I didn't really know what he was talking about. And he continued and said, you just realize you married the wrong person. And then he sort of followed that up by saying, my wife isn't a very adventurous person. And I thought maybe he was talking about scuba diving or something. But then he said, she's not very sexually adventurous. And I really didn't know what to say in response because I just thought this guy is, you know, I guess he's sort of clueless, but I let it go. And the next week, his opening gambit was to ask me if I ever took vitamins. And I said, no, why? And he said, well, I take vitamins. I take a lot of vitamin B especially. It's really good for blood circulation, and that really helps with erections. And at that point, I was getting incredibly uncomfortable. And I went home after that lesson and really didn't know what to do about the situation. I had about 2 lessons left, and it had taken forever to schedule my driving test. And I just felt like I didn't want to screw this up. I had plans. You know, I was on a schedule to look for a house, and I didn't want to have to try to find some other driving instructor on short notice to get me through the lesson and all that. So I just thought, oh, I'll just see how the next couple weeks pan out. This turns out to have been a really stupid decision. I really should have trusted my instinct. So it was my penultimate lesson. We had 2 lessons left, and on the second to last one, we headed to an area of Staten Island called Silver Lake, which is kind of it's a nice suburban area, but it's very quiet. So we made a right down a quiet street, and as we were driving down the street, I was looking around and realizing that there weren't really a lot of houses on this street. As we got further and further down the street, I noticed that the houses were disappearing, and really, at the end of the street, there were no houses. This was a dead-end street. And he told me to pull over and park. So I did, and was kind of wondering, you know, what we were going to do. And we sat there for a few moments. And then Ron turned and looked at me intently and said, "If I was to rape you right now, it would be your word against mine." And I just kind of sat there and tried to take this in, and I remember thinking to myself, this is how people get raped. And some part of me thought I needed to treat him like a wild animal. Like, I couldn't show fear or he would attack. Couldn't look at him. I just had to stand my ground and he'd back off. So I didn't say anything. I just reached down to the gear shift and put it in drive and said, "I'm driving home now." And did a quick K-turn back down the street, and we drove back to my neighborhood in complete silence. When I got out of the car, I didn't say anything. I was just way too shaken up. And I went home, and for several days, I wrestled with what to do about this situation. I knew there was a chance he was dangerous, but on the other hand, I figured if he had planned to do something, he had the perfect opportunity and he didn't do it. So maybe he was just playing with me. He was just sadistic or something. And I also realized with some retroactive alarm that the car was dual braked. So there was, at any point on that street, he could have stopped the car and done whatever he wanted, and he didn't. So I thought, well, you know, maybe it's going to be okay. So the next week, it was the last session, and stupidly, I got in the car just thinking, well, I just need to get this over with. It'll be fine. But on the other hand, a part of me is thinking, you know, this is going to be a long 45 minutes, and it could end really badly. And I was gambling, and I knew it, but I was just so impatient. You know, you're young, and you're impatient, and you just want to get on with your plans. So we drove, and as I drove, Ron began to talk, as usual. And he said, "You know, some women get the wrong idea about some things I say sometimes. One time I was teaching this lady, and I said, 'Hey, we're going to have a good time today.' She misinterpreted and thought I was saying something sexual. I just kept driving. Anyway, I just want to make sure you didn't get the wrong idea about anything I said. It was all in good fun." Ron was clearly worried. And somehow that removed my own worry, although I was still wary enough that I wasn't going to turn down any quiet streets with him that day. So at the top of the hour, we were back on my street. Nothing had happened. And I got out of the car and he said, "Okay, Julie, I'll pick you up next week for the test." And I went inside and found a friend willing to take me to the driving test, willing to let me use her car. called the driving school after hours, left a message, and I never saw Ron again. I was a much more passive person back then, and I put up with a lot of crap. And I would never have let things escalate the way they did. I would have, if he'd said something that had made me uncomfortable, as he did, like in the fourth week or so, I would have said, you know, that's really out of line, or I would have just found another school. I would never put myself in that kind of danger again. The one benefit to getting older is that you learn not to do stupid things, or you learn not to let people, you know, abuse you or take advantage of you.
That is all for this week's Classic Risk Singles episode. Now, don't miss out on our regular full-length episodes. There's a brand new one every Tuesday. And everything you might want to know about us is at risk-show.com.